Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Rubio, good ball in to Johnny Russell. Now Quaze with the turn. Quaze with the finish. Peter Vermees is an absolute magician. It took less than 2 minutes for the substitution to pay off.
That's an absolutely top quality finish from Quaze.
Absolute top quality finish, absolutely. Sporting KC, another huge win last night, 2-0 over Minnesota United FC. Now just 1 point out of the first place spot in the Western Conference. Nate Bucchetti on the call there, along with Matthew Lawrence. Good stuff. Nate's really good. I love listening to Nate on whether it's Fox Sports or here on 810 WHB. Just good, solid soccer stuff. And Sporting KC finished out one of the best months they've ever had. 4 wins in 4 games, all shutouts. First time in franchise history they've had 4 consecutive shutouts, which I was stunned when I read it, considering the goalkeepers they've had over the years, from Tony Miola to Kevin Hartman to Jimmy Nielsen and now Timmy Melia. Just outstanding stuff. We're going to talk about that later in the show. Chiefs, of course, lost 27-20 to the Bears. Going to break that down in a second. And the Royals, 7-1 over Cleveland. It's their first series win since the end of July, beginning of August. It's been a month since the Royals won a series. And Heath Fillmyer was outstanding. Remember last weekend, Heath Fillmyer was not great? He had that 6-0 lead and then gave up 6 runs in the one inning. And we're like, uh-oh. All right, maybe he's bottomed out. Nope, he's back. Held Cleveland into 3 hits, 1 run over 6 innings. Walked 2 and struck out 3. And how about the big 3 for Cleveland? Francisco Lindor, Michael Brantley, Jose Ramirez, a combined 0 for 11. Maybe they were still stunned by Friday night's walk-off. Ryan O'Hearn hit a game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth, and then Hunter Dozier hit the game-winner. Both of them going opposite field. It's okay to have a little fun in the middle of a miserable season. It's okay.
Yeah, Friday night was super fun with the, 40-minute pipe burst?
Pipe burst delay, which kind of summed up the season. I saw Conrad McGorkin had the, is it a GIF?
GIF is actually the GIF. Correct pronunciation.
The picture, they had all the water in the outfield, and he had a picture of a boat sinking. Conrad McGorkin. Oh, man. Can the Royals social media staff hire Conrad McGorkin, please?
I'd like for
anybody
us to hire Conrad McGorkin as our social media person.
The Royals, I mean, look, I'm not going to criticize anybody's Twitter feed because mine is pretty lousy, but if you're going to criticize them, theirs is pretty bland. Oh, Salvi hit a home run, number 20, whatever. That's about it. Game is delayed. Royals win. There's really not, they don't have fun, is what I'm saying. They don't really have a lot of fun. Other teams do.
I mean, we're talking about a team that's lost 90 games already.
You can still have fun with this. There are teams who poke fun at themselves.
I guess I don't follow the Orioles feed, so maybe I should start seeing how they're handling the situation.
The Cubs have a good Twitter feed. The Pirates have a good Twitter feed.
Yeah, the Cubs are good, though.
They are. Yeah,
the Pirates are a middling team, but they're okay.
The A's have a good Twitter feed.
Again, a good team. If you're a good team, it's a lot easier to have fun.
Yeah.
I remember the Royals had a lot of fun when they were winning the World Series.
Still,
everybody was high-fiving, doing their handshakes.
Their Twitter feed was still pretty bland. It was mostly purely informational. There's not a lot of fun.
Some people want Twitter to be informational.
Well, that's okay. You can find those people. You can follow those Twitter accounts that are purely informational if you want. I like to have a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to have fun today here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. Got a good show lined up for you today. Coming up at 9:25, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, will talk to us. And If you need pulled off the ledge after watching that performance in Chicago yesterday, maybe Matt will help you do that, or maybe he will give you a push. I don't know.
Did you say Matt Derrick was going to push someone off a ledge?
Well, if you're on the ledge, it's a term. If you're on the ledge, I'm on the ledge. About the Chiefs,
wow.
Metaphorically.
Sorry, Matt. Yeah. It's at Brad K. Porter.
Yes. Matt Derrick will join us at 9:25. At 10:25, Ali Trost from the Blue Testament will join us, talk Sporting KC and their remarkable run here through the month of August after it looked like their season was slipping away. All of a sudden, they're 1 point out of first place, and they have a huge matchup next weekend in the Pacific Northwest against the Seattle Sounders. That game, that'll be the biggest game in the league next week. So we'll talk with Ali Trost at 10:25. At 11:25, Barton Simmons, CBS college football writer, will join us. We'll talk about the opening of the season next week. Not a lot of, I guess, major games, but there's some good ones. There's some good ones on the docket.
Next week?
Yeah.
They're good. They're big-time games.
There's some good ones.
I don't have the schedule in front of me as I say that, but I could pull it up here in a second.
Of personal interest, at least on my end, is Purdue and Northwestern, because at Northwestern, you might see T.J. Green, son of former Chiefs quarterback Trent Green, and Rockhurst High School grad. He may start for Northwestern. The Northwestern quarterback, the starter, has been injured, and T.J. Green, who's a walk-on, has been named as the number two quarterback. So he may start. He may play a little bit. But we'll talk about that with Barton Simmons coming up at 11:25. So good show lined up for you. Going to start. You have something, Jed?
Oh, no, I was just looking here at the schedule. Like, Notre Dame, Michigan plays next weekend.
Right. See, I didn't look hard enough.
There's somebody else. They always have Miami, LSU is then the Sunday game, and then Florida State and Virginia Tech play on Monday night. Okay. So those are all top 25 matchups.
How hot will the seat be for Jim Harbaugh if they lose to Notre Dame? I mean, Notre Dame's a good team, don't get me wrong, but Harbaugh's, you know, he's got a lengthy list of teams he does not do well against.
You're really going to start off the show like that?
No. Well.
Thanks, Brad.
No, I started off with Sporting KC.
You can stick it, buddy.
At JedRow24, he's a big Michigan fan. You can tell him what you think. All right, so let's start with the Chiefs. My goodness. Yes, it's an exhibition game. I get it. Yes, it's the preseason. Yes, none of these games count. I get it. But the Bears announced Friday night they were not going to play their starters. Mitchell Trubisky et al. Not starting. So the Chiefs were going against the Bears' twos in every direction. And it wasn't very good. It just wasn't. I'll give you the good stuff first. Okay, Patrick Mahomes, pretty good. But not great. Nothing to write home about. But pretty good. Started out the first half going 8-for-8. Started out the second half going 7-for-7 before the first incompletions. First drive of the game was pretty darn good. 6 plays, 74 yards, culminating in a 19-yard touchdown to Kareem Hunt on 3rd and 6. Well, what was great about that play, if you're looking for signs of growth and maturity, is Patrick Mahomes II saw the blitz. Blitz recognition is so important. We can talk about 69-yard bombs all day long, all right? Blitz recognition is huge. Because they'll disguise it in a number of ways. They'll bring guys from different spots. They'll do dog twists. They'll do stunts. Whatever it is. They'll bring the blitz in multiple different ways. Patrick Mahomes recognized the blitz. Got it out in the flat to Kareem Hunt. 19-yard touchdown. Fantastic. Mahomes finished 18 for 24, 196 yards. One touchdown, no picks. Quarterback rating of 112.5, if that means anything to you. There's now, what, 3 or 4 different metrics for quarterback ratings? There's the NFL rating. There's the ESPN rating. I'm sure Pro Football Focus has a rating. There's all kinds of different ratings, but that's pretty good. Good stuff from Patrick Mahomes. Recognition, not making mistakes. Remember Andy Reid said after the previous game, he corrects his mistakes. He'll make a mistake, and then he'll correct it. Patrick Mahomes is getting away from the mistake. So good stuff from Patrick Mahomes. The other good thing, Tyreek Hill. Favorite target right now. Obvious? Yes. But when the other team knows it's coming and you can still execute it, Even better. Tyreek Hill, 8 catches, 88 yards. He said after the game, there's room to improve. He's got to work on his timing, his route running. Yes. Route discipline. Yes. Things like that. He said it was good, but he feels he can be a whole lot better. Yes. All of those things. Correct. You can still perform well and find areas in which you need to improve, which every player has to do every single week. The other good thing, nobody got hurt. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens were out there on defense, played, didn't get hurt. Their communication was a little off. We talked about that yesterday with former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter. Got to work on the communication. That's where they feel they need it the most. They can play. Their play is fine. It's the communication that's going to decide whether or not they sink or swim. Good stuff from those guys. Not great. But room to improve. But nobody got hurt. And last week, Steven Nelson got the concussion, couldn't play this week. So nobody got hurt in this game. Areas of criticism. My goodness. The defensive backs. Painfully obvious to anybody who watched that game. You don't have to be an NFL expert. By the way, why was Todd McShay on the Chiefs broadcast yesterday? Anybody know? Is he friends with Trent Green? Or
I have no idea.
Did he just happen to be in Chicago and they said, would you do it? Why was he on the broadcast?
The guy who normally does it with Trent Green for TPT 65, isn't his name Carter Blackburn?
It's
something like that.
Well, they did have a play-by-play guy, but they also had Trent and they had...
But it wasn't the normal play-by-play
guy. No, it was a different guy.
So it was some random dude and then Todd McShay.
Like, were they giving him a practice run for some other game?
I guess. I don't know. I know he does college football games, but he's normally like the sideline guy, and he does do some radio play-by-play,
He was harmless, but Todd McShay seemed an odd choice. And
yeah.
And to be honest here, it added nothing to the broadcast, is what I'm saying. Todd McShay's not bad. I'm just saying he added nothing to the broadcast.
I'd agree. I think the idea maybe, I mean.
We got a name. Todd McShay's here. Let's throw him in. Maybe it was a favor to ESPN.
I guess. The only thing I can think is that they hatched this idea before they knew that Mitchell Trubisky wasn't going to play. So the idea of him being, because he's the quarterback dude.
Oh, because you're comparing
Mahomes and Trubisky. So.
Well, I was thinking, because Todd McShay added almost nothing to the broadcast, and there was at one point he said, and this is where, look, we fall into this trap as well in radio. You bring in a national guy for an outside perspective, and sometimes they don't know as much, and that's fair, because they have to cover so many different teams. But at one point, Todd McShay said, well, this Damian Williams, other than Kareem Hunt, he's been the best performer of the preseason. Yes, we know that already. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. Thanks for the effort. Tell me something we don't know. That's what I'm looking for from a national guy. Anyway. So the defensive backs. My goodness. Awful. Just awful. And once again, David Amerson is right in the middle of it. If David Amerson is on the field, every team the Chiefs play will tell their quarterback, throw at that guy. Whoever David Amerson is covering, you're throwing it to that guy. That's it. That's our offensive game plan for the day. We'll run it a few times, but throw the ball at David Amerson. Orlando Scandrick brought in on Sunday, signed last Sunday after the poor performance last week. Didn't show all that great. He's only been here for a week. I get it. He's 31 years old. I get it. He looked like a 31-year-old trying to figure out how to play with a new team. That's not good. You got one preseason game left. One. And it did not look good. Eric Murray, meh. He's all right. Didn't have Steven Nelson. The one guy who continues to stand out, and it's not because of how poor his teammates are playing, but Kendall Fuller continues to look like the pickup of the offseason. And we're going to look back at that trade and think, I already do. What an absolute steal. I do. I think it already. I thought it after the first two games. An absolute steal. You knew you were going to go with Patrick Mahomes II. You were going away from Alex Smith. What can we get? Go to Washington. We like Kendall Fuller. Washington. Okay, yeah, we did. We lost Kirk Cousins. We'll take Alex Smith. You want the best corner we got? Sure. How about an extra draft pick for you? Would that help? Absolutely. Brett Veach was playing chess on that trade, and Washington was playing checkers. It's as simple as that. Washington got schooled on the trade. Now, if we're sitting here in February watching Alex Smith take Washington to the Super Bowl, we might think differently. I don't think that's going to happen. Alex Smith has not shown that ability to win those big playoff games.
Has Washington shown that ability?
No, I'm just saying. You know, if that happens in February, but I don't think it will. Kendall Fuller, the steal of the offseason. Absolute brilliant move by Brett Veach. So Kendall Fuller stands out because he's good, and everybody else, as Joe Namath says, is struggling. No Eric Berry, no Daniel Sorensen. I'm wondering, and I think Josh Briscoe floated this last night on the postgame show. Josh did a great job, by the way. Floated this idea, and you could see it easily happening. Daniel Sorensen is a veteran. He's been around a little while. He's been a good player, not great. Better when he plays where he's supposed to, as opposed to what the Chiefs tried to do with him last year. I know Andy likes him because he's a BYU guy. I get it. But his knee has been destroyed. He's not going to play. So you cut him, you make your injury settlement, you free up $4 or $5 million. And then you go back to your talks with Bashaud Breeland at a corner or an Eric Reed at safety. I mean, we're in the push comes to shove moment of the preseason. Yes, these games don't matter, but you got problems, and you got serious problems that are not going to be ironed out easily. I don't think there's anything you're going to go in. Bob Sutton's not going to go to that defensive meeting, draw up something on the board that's going to magically change what we've seen in these first three exhibition games. It's atrocious. You can't have it. You can't have it. Chase Daniel torched that Chiefs secondary. Absolutely torched him. Two touchdown drives on the first three possessions. Said Chase Daniel after the game, it's a confidence builder for sure. You think? Unlimited success against the Chiefs' number ones. Chase Daniel, 15 for 18, 198 yards and two touchdowns. Man, I'm happy for him because I'm a fan of Chase Daniel. I didn't go to Mizzou, but I like all the local guys. If you went to Mizzou or KU or K-State or Iowa State, whatever, Northwest Missouri State, name it. Love it when the local kids do well. Xavier Williams from Lincoln Prep, love it. Didn't play much. He's been beat up. Didn't play. So I root for Chase Daniel. Plus, he's going to have the greatest backup quarterback career of anybody in history because he's going to leave the game sitting on a pile of $30 to $40 million. He's been sacked 7 times in his career. We talked about it yesterday on the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show with Mark Boerichter and Curtis Siebold. Chase Daniel has been sacked 7 times in his professional career. He's kept a clean uniform. He's going to leave the game in shape, in good health, with a pile of cash. And as far as I know, he's not a big spender. Maybe he's got a lake house somewhere. I don't know. He's a good dude. If you get the trust of Andy Reid, Sean Payton down in New Orleans, along with Drew Brees, who really like Chase Daniel, you're trusted by Philadelphia, Chiefs, New Orleans, all the places he's played, now the Bears, Matt Nagy, trust him. A lot of guys trust him. They all know he's not going to be a superstar. If Mitchell Trubisky goes down in week 1, Chase Daniel's not going to win you 15 games, okay? But he's going to do it the right way. He's going to make plays and not make big mistakes.
Yeah, he's a good serviceable backup quarterback like you were talking about, and he had a career day yesterday in addition to having, 198 yards and throwing the ball down the field and doing whatever he wanted to. He also had 47 yards rushing on 6 carries and led the Bears in rushing. The point that I wanted to make, though, is you talk about how bad the Chiefs' secondary was. Listen to the receiving core that the Chiefs were going up against. Javon Weems, Kevin White, who is, he's been injury-plagued, but he is a big-time receiver. Ben Brownecker, Benny Cunningham, Taquan Mizell, Benny Fowler III, Taylor Gabriel, Michael Burton, Ryan Nall, Daniel Brown, Calvin Thompson, Marlon Brown. Those were all the guys who either caught passes or had a target yesterday.
Now you're just giving away free fantasy advice.
What, other than Kevin White, have you heard of any of those guys?
Kevin White's what, a West Virginia guy?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. He's, like I said, been an injury-plagued guy, but has big play potential. We'll see what happens this upcoming year. But still, lighting the Chiefs secondary up with those ragtag bunch of dudes I just named.
And I'll leave you one more positive after all that. Chase Litton, really liked him. Had some good throws under pressure. Probably going to be the number three on this team. Matt McGloin, I don't know. Chase Litton looked pretty good. Now, he's going against fours. His fours against the Bears' fours, whatever it was at that point of the game. But he looked good. I like him. He's raw. Yes, he's raw. Absolutely. More with Matt Derrick coming up at 9:25. Final note, what do we got, about 2 minutes till break or 1 minute? I wanted to say this. This is a non-sports thing, and I don't really get into politics, but I do want to say this about a politician. So yesterday, Senator John McCain, who served the state of Arizona for many, many years in the House of Representatives and the United States Senate, passed away yesterday. It was announced the day before that he was going to discontinue treatments for his glioblastoma brain tumor. He'd been fighting it for a long time. Probably fought longer than most people would have the energy to fight. Regardless of your politics or your political persuasion, whatever you think, if he voted for a bill you didn't like or if he didn't vote for a bill you wanted, that's fine. His political career will be documented for history. As a man, he's an American treasure. Absolute American treasure. And I want to read this quote. I read John McCain's book several years ago, Faith of My Fathers. And if you get the chance to read it, it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with his family and his military service. One of the quotes in his book is, John McCain, quote, "Nothing in life is more liberating than to fight for a cause larger than yourself, something that encompasses you but is not defined by your existence alone." John McCain's grandfather was an admiral in the Navy. John McCain's father was an admiral in the Navy. John McCain went to the Naval Academy. He was a maverick. He wasn't a great student. In fact, I think he finished fourth from the bottom of his class. He got in trouble a lot. Became a fighter pilot. Went to Vietnam. Got shot down. Dragged to a Vietnamese prison camp that they refer to as the Hanoi Hilton. 5.5 years of torture and abuse to the brink of death on an almost daily basis. Solitary confinement. He and his fellow prisoners had to figure out how to communicate with each other. They developed their own system of tapping on the walls and things like that where they could communicate with each other. He was beaten nearly to death over 5.5 years. During that time, the Vietnamese figured out who he was, that he had a famous Navy father and a grandfather, and they said, you know what? We'll let you go early. And the point of that offer was to crush the spirits of his fellow soldiers. They look, this guy's getting out easy because his dad's famous. John McCain said, no, I will stay here with my comrades in arms. I will not leave. Came back so broken and beaten, couldn't comb his own hair, couldn't brush his own teeth. Almost every bone in his body had been broken over 5.5 years. If you read the story, again, Faith of My Fathers, he goes into great detail about what happened to him. Came back, could have retired, had a nice career, you know, lobbyist or working for some military contractor. Decided to serve his country first in the U.S. Congress and then in the U.S. Senate. Fought with his own party, fought with the other party, fought with his friends, was good friends with people on both sides. Great man and an American hero. And I'm glad that I posted some comments last night, and I'm glad the responses were positive because I know there's been a lot of horrific things that have been said on Twitter because that's what we do as Americans now. But John McCain was an American hero. End of story. History will write further on that, but that's where we are. That's where I am. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We come back more on the Kansas City Chiefs. Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. How worried should we be after that performance in Chicago Saturday afternoon? You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Two right, including a stand-up tight end eligible on first and goal. Chase Daniel, staggered set, looking left, pump faking, now floats it for a corner. Pattern caught against Emerson. Touchdown, Chicago.
Who got burned on that play? David Emerson, right? By the way, great song choice. This song is plays out at the end of Gross Point Blank. Fantastic. One of my favorite movies of all time.
That's Nate Bucati's, I think, favorite
movie. I
love it. It's a solid flick.
Yeah, the soundtrack helps, but it's such an odd concept for a movie, but it's fantastic. Guy's a serial killer.
He's not a serial killer.
He's a contract
killer. Professional killer.
He's a professional killer. Goes back home, wants to change his life and marry his high school sweetheart and saves her and her dad from Dan Aykroyd and his team of professional hitmen.
You have to have a dark sense of humor, but it's funny.
Yes, it's a very dark humor. It's great stuff. Good song, though. They play that out at the end when Minnie Driver and John Cusack are driving away in a convertible. Good stuff. Talking about Gross Point Blank. Matt Derrick, did you think we would be starting with movie reviews from a movie that came out probably, what, 15 years ago? 10, 15 years ago? Gross Point Blank?
Somewhere in that ballpark, yeah.
Great movie, though. Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, joining us. By the way, this is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios. Matt Derrick, boy, watching that game yesterday against the Bears, the noon kickoff a little bit odd. By the way, I did find out somebody tweeted in and to tell me why Todd McShay was on the broadcast. Apparently NFL Network had a say over who was going to be on that game, so that's why Todd McShay was on there, even though I think he had not much. Matt Derrick, my goodness, the secondary could not look any worse. David Emerson, again, I mean, this is an ongoing problem. Orlando Scandrick, I realize he's only been with the team for a week, but he's 31 years old. He didn't look good. None of this looked good at all. And as you noted in your article with your, I think you had four thoughts after the game, the first three drives for the Bears, 218 yards of offense against the Chiefs' number ones.
Yeah, well, you know, with Chase Daniel at quarterback, you're going to see that. I mean, that's what Chase Daniel does, especially in August. He's a future preseason Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes, he is. If there is such a thing, he would be.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I don't think there's a whole lot you can take away from anything of the defensive effort and feel pretty good about. Even like I talk about, you know, even the run game and say, hey, that they really stopped the Bears and give up a lot on the ground. the number twos gave up a little bit more later in the game and everything, but you know, Chase, you know, scrambled for 47 yards, but also Bears weren't playing their starters, so you know, your number one defense should have stopped their ground game, and he didn't stop their pass game at all. So I don't know that there's anything you could take away from that defensive effort yesterday.
And look, I realize the injuries, okay? Eric Berry's just not going to play in the preseason. I get it. He's got a sore heel, no reason to play. I get it. Daniel Sorensen is out for many weeks, if not for the season. I get it. Xavier Williams couldn't play. He's had those stingers for the last couple of games. I get it. That's going to happen during the regular season, Matt. None of these guys are going to play all 16 games as a unit. Guys will get hurt. Guys will get shuffled in and out. So you can say, you know, we can talk about the injuries, but somebody's got to step up, and guys in the secondary in particular are not stepping up.
Yeah, and they're not stepping up yet, and obviously you're hoping that the key word there is yet, that they will down the road. But, you know, there's a big consideration here, which is that, you know, when we looked at this season, you looked at the defense and everything, and I was pretty bullish. I mean, I thought this was going to be a better defense, but that's all predicated on the idea that you're not going to be missing five or six starters, you know, for an extended period of time of any sort. And this is a defensive rebuild. Don't get anything wrong. I mean, it's a definite retooling of this defense based on what they've had the last couple of seasons. And it's not a one-year rebuild. I mean, even the Chiefs will tell you that privately. I mean, it's not, you know, this is not something they can get done in one season. It's going to take another year before they really get the kind of personnel that they think that they need back there in some key places. And that means that as a result, you know, that if they don't have the depth this year to sustain many injuries, and you get to the number of injuries that, like you're talking about, especially not having Eric Berry out there again. You know, we see what happens when you don't have Eric Berry out there. We know what happens there. I thought like Derek Nnadi played pretty well in the place of Xavier Williams, but you know, that's still there's still a drop there, and they've got some injuries at cornerback too, obviously with Steven Nelson out. So they just don't have the depth to sustain that level of injuries. And if that's what they're going to roll into the season with is maybe four or five guys out, that's going to be a rough thing for this defense to try to overcome.
We're talking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com after the Chiefs' not-so-good performance in Chicago against the Bears Saturday afternoon. Look, I like Steven Nelson. I think he's a really good player, and I think he's prepared to take that next step. He's openly talked about it, that's what he needs to do, and I think he can. But I didn't think we'd be in a situation where we would say, oh, boy, if we lose Steven Nelson, we're in serious trouble. But this team is. David Amerson is just... Maybe he's been good in the past, but he's not been good in this entire preseason at all.
Yeah, David Amerson's the kind of player who he's just been really inconsistent. I mean, in his good years, he's been, you know, Pro Bowl caliber. I mean, he's put up some incredible stats and looked really good. And when he's been bad, he has looked really bad. I mean, you know, there's just no – it's a roller coaster. You just don't know what you're going to get with him sometimes. And the Chiefs were certainly optimistic that, you know, with him being healthy for the first time in a few years, that you're going to get good David Amerson. And so far you haven't. And so that's a major concern. But also, you know, part of that concern, too, is that, you know, they envisioned him as a nickelback. He's the kind of guy that they envisioned coming in there, you know, playing on the left side while Kendall Fuller kicks in inside when they're in those sub packages, which they expect, you know, to be in a lot.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be out there a lot, even if he's not going to be a, you know, main starter. And so far, no. I mean, you're asking him to do more than you wanted. And I think that, you know, just like any platoon type player, you do that and they're going to get exposed.
All right, we're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. We also I talked a little bit in the opening segment about seeing Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland together. They were okay, but they openly admitted after the game that the communication still needs work because they just haven't got a lot of game experience together. Did you see improvements from those two, especially since we'd seen the backups the previous two games?
Yeah, I mean, I think you did. You know, those two guys together had 13 tackles in that game, and you know, so I think you did see an improvement. And you're right. I mean, we did see a little bit of communication breakdown. Of course, I think you could say that about the entire defense.
Right.
They got a lot of guys out there who haven't played together, so there is a little bit of that breakdown, and you know, and understanding, you know, who's going to be behind you and what kind of help you have. So there are going to be those kind of plays, but no, I thought that at least, you know, at that position, at that level, and everything, that this team did look better than they looked the first couple of preseason games.
Another area that concerns me, and I know you wrote about this for ChiefsDigest.com, the pass rush, still a work in progress. Geez, Matt, this is going on. I don't know how many years now where the Chiefs just don't get to the quarterback. They don't. Whether it's the scheme, whether it's the personnel, I don't know. But the Chiefs, they just don't get to the quarterback, and that still looks to be a problem. The one time they did, Tano Pastineau gets called for a horse manure, roughing the passer call. I've watched that play six or seven times. It's completely a form tackle, but they're saying he drove Chase Daniel into the ground. I don't know what else he's supposed to do, but is he supposed to spin him around and pull him over on top of him? Is he supposed to – I don't know what Tano Pastineau was supposed to do on there, but that said, the pass rush is still a big problem.
Yeah, and you're completely right about everything about that Pastineau sack. You know, they do. I mean, you're right. I mean, what they want the defender to do is to turn so that you don't land with your full weight on the quarterback. And that's technically been a rule for a while, and they just made it a point of emphasis this year. But we've already seen some really bad calls with that that look really questionable. I'm guessing that it's going to be dialed back once the regular season starts, but you never know. You're still going to get some random, I think, bad calls with that. But as far as, you know, the Chiefs, you know, pass rush in particular, I think that's also been another reason why the secondary has looked so bad, because there hasn't been much of a pass rush. And, you know, and take all of that with a grain of salt, in the sense that this defense has been going very vanilla. They haven't done a lot of blitzing.
Andy Reid said that after the game, yeah.
They haven't done a lot of things that have been too tricky. Yeah, I mean, have we on occasion seen three edge rushers out there, you know, with like Justin Houston over the middle. Yeah, you've seen that, but they haven't done it with like an exotic, you know, look or, you know, as far as an exotic blitzer or anything like that goes. They've been pulling, you know, Justin Houston and D Ford from the game pretty early, not giving them a lot of snaps. So, you know, we've been seeing the backups playing out there a lot, which in theory, if you've got Passanio and you got Breland Speaks getting some extra snaps and reps right now, that's going to pay dividends later down the road. But the result of it now is that the pass rush just hasn't looked very good. And that has to be a factor in as far as the secondary looking pretty bad, too.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios. We're speaking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Please go there and click on the four thoughts from the game versus the Bears Saturday. Good stuff here. All right, let's flip over to the offense. I remarked in the opening, Patrick Mahomes looked pretty good, and probably a lot of that has to do with the fact that they scored a touchdown on the first drive, went down and got a field goal. They look good on those first two drives. But as you note on ChiefsDigest.com, the following three drives, the number one offense picked up just 16 yards and three and out on each trip. So there's certainly a lack of consistency, at least as of right now, or at least as of that game.
Yeah, I think these last two games have been kind of, you know, mirror images of themselves in the sense that, you know, last week the offense was pretty inefficient, I thought, most of that first half. And you completely gloss over it because of one 69-yard bomb
before
halftime that completely changes the stat line and completely changes the storyline. And this week, you know, it was the offense goes out, has two really effective drives, scores 10 points, and you're feeling, okay, they can keep up with anybody if they have to. If the defense gives up 21 points in the first half, you know, they got the offense to keep up with them. But then the offense goes into, you know, shutdown mode, and it's just been – they haven't found that consistency yet, and that's what this game, I think they really need to go out there and show, was that they had the ability to go out there. And even if they're not picking up points, you've got to pick up yards. You've got to hold the ball for a little bit. You can't have three straight drives, you know, 16 yards, three and outs. You do that in the regular season, then most of the time you're going to lose. So, you know, even if you can't sustain a drive, and they only had one drive in that game longer than seven, or two drives in that game longer than seven plays, and only one of them was the first-team offense. And now, granted, I mean, hey, if you've got two scoring drives that only take 13 plays combined, that's pretty efficient. But, you know, when you've only got one more drive the rest of the game that's longer than three plays out of your first-team offense, four tries, that's not good. So they've got to figure out how to get this offense more consistent. And hey, if that is just a matter of, this is once again, say it's a vanilla game plan and all, but – even with a vanilla game plan, a first-team NFL offense needs to be more efficient than they were yesterday against a backup defense for a rebuilding team.
Yes, absolutely. And we're talking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. The running game also didn't do Patrick Mahomes and the offense many favors. And I'm trying to scroll. I have my stats up right now, but then my computer just froze. But Patrick Mahomes was the number one rusher for the Chiefs. And then, okay, now I got it back. Patrick Mahomes had 11 yards. Chase Linton rushed for 9 yards. And then when you finally get to the running backs, Kareem Hunt, 3 carries for 7 yards, although he had the 19-yard touchdown catch. Kareem Hunt, or rather Spencer Ware, I get it, he's rusty, hasn't played yet, 3 carries, 3 yards. Damian Williams, 2 carries for -3 yards. So the running game is a problem. I know Laurent Duvernay-Tardif didn't play. That's going to happen during the regular season. You're not going to have 5 offensive linemen play all 16 games every play. So the running game is also an issue, especially going against a number 2 defense.
Yeah, and I think their best effort of the preseason so far has been 76 yards rushing. And once again, that was with quite a bit of yardage from your quarterbacks and everything. They have done nothing this preseason to distinguish the running game whatsoever. And you're right. I mean, you're going to have injuries. They've had them and everything. So that's going to affect things. Yes, well, once again, we will, you know, obligatory mention to the vanilla game planning. But at the same time, you got the league's best running back, you know, from a year ago, leading NFL rusher going up against the number 2 defense, and there's nothing there. And that's, I think, got to be a concern. I mean, you know, it's you know, maybe this is. Maybe Andy Reid is completely sandbagging everything on offense. Maybe he just wanted to get out there that you know, Patrick Mahomes can throw a 70-yard touchdown, that, you know, hey, you got to show that Tyreek Hill can get the ball in the backfield so that teams have to defend that. And maybe the rest of it, he just has been, let's just run standard plays and nothing exotic whatsoever. Because, I mean, I will say, I mean, we haven't seen anything, I think, true exotic and interesting in the run game as far as, you know, calls go. But at the same time, you got to execute, and there's been no execution. And they've had some run plays that have frankly looked pretty darn bad. I mean, going for big losses and everything even. So, you know, to me, it's a concern. I mean, you need to be at least look average or pedestrian. And this run game has looked well below average through three preseason games.
We're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. One more area from your article on ChiefsDigest.com about your four thoughts. And this is what I said going into this game. If you're looking for something interesting that's not very sexy, but if you're looking for something that's going to tell you who's going to be the make up the back end of this roster, you have to watch special teams. You have to. And I know it's boring. Punt return may be a little exciting, but punt coverage, not all that exciting. Kickoffs, okay. But I'm looking for guys who stand out here. And every year, I think every year since he's been drafted, we've tried to come up with reasons DeAnthony Thomas is not going to be on this roster. You know, when Tyreek Hill all of a sudden became the punt returner, well, don't need DeAnthony Thomas anymore. And then you run those jet sweeps. Well, we don't need DeAnthony Thomas for that anymore. He was pretty good in punt and kick returns yesterday. Also had a really good catch and run and broke some tackles. So DeAnthony Thomas stood out, as you wrote in your thoughts there. And Marcus Kemp is a guy I think we always look at as, well, he's on the bubble. He did some good things. Yes, it was with Chase Litton and the third and fourth stringers. I get that. But those are guys that are making their marks in little subtle ways that may end up on this final 53.
Yeah, and that position, that wide receiver group, is particularly from a special team standpoint, is where you need contributors. And, you know, and they didn't rule out this past week the idea of even keeping a seventh wide receiver. And I have to say, I mean, I'm not dismissing it either. I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous at face value, but, you know, you look at the contributions that you get from some of those guys on special teams. Marcus Kemp, Jehu Chesson have both been really big, you know, special teams contributors. I think it's hard to keep both those guys off. And, yeah, you saw DeAnthony Thomas. That's exactly why Dave Toth thinks he's the toughest guy on the team, pound for pound. I mean, on the special teams, he's been pretty good in the past. I mean, last year was kind of a down year for him, especially returning kicks. But I think the whole kick return unit seemed like it had a bad year last year. But that play right there, that punt return, is exactly why they like him. And especially if you're going into the end season with the idea that maybe you're not going to have Tyreek Hill return as many punts, it makes DeAnthony Thomas even more valuable, because even as high as, you know, a lot of people are on Trey Smith, and I'm one of them,
sure,
you're one injury away, one ding up away from not having any depth back there for returning a man. So, you know, I think that definitely adds to DeAnthony Thomas's value. There's a reason why they brought him back. They've been dazzled by what he does. And yeah, I mean, Marcus Kemp, Gary Dieter, those guys too, second year guys have looked like they've shown a lot of growth. So I think it's going to be a tough call. I mean, even if you just go with the idea that they're only going to, you know, keep six wide receivers, that's still just two of those four guys that you can keep, and I think it's going to be tough. And then there's other positions too. I mean, inside linebacker is a big one. You got a lot of guys there who can contribute on special teams. Terrence Smith, Kimme Alegwe, Ben Neiman. You got Dorian O'Daniel. Do you need to keep six inside linebackers because you've got so many guys that are really special teams kind of guys? It's tough, but it might be a consideration.
Absolutely, and it's going to be it's going to be interesting because all the cuts happen after the fourth game, which is strange. If I were a head coach or a GM, I would not want 90 guys in my locker room for that many weeks. It's just, it's too much, and not enough guys get snaps. But that's the way it is in the NFL, and I'm sure the Chiefs will spend the next, if they're not already, the next few days scanning the waiver wire for cornerbacks and safeties, and or looking at Bashaud Breeland or Eric Reed if they want to. But it should be an interesting next week to be sure. We will not see the starters in Game 4. So that's pretty much it. We're done looking at the starters. So we'll evaluate from there. Matt Derrick, good stuff as always. And again, I encourage all the listeners to go to ChiefsDigest.com and read all the thoughts from yesterday's game against the Bears. Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brad. Always good talking to you.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. It's a little cloudy, but we'll try to make it sunny for you here on the radio. How about that?
We'll make it work.
All right. Thank you. That is Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, breaking it down for us with some good stuff. He's a good dude. I've known him for a long, long time. So good stuff from Matt Derrick. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout before we finish out hour number one. We're going to go right on to noon. We got a lot of stuff to get to. In the next hour, Alec Trost from the Blue Testament is going to join us, talk Sporting KC. Four wins in the month of August, all by way of shutout. Good stuff. So that's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. In the 11 o'clock hour, Barton Simmons, CBS college football writer, with some stuff. We're going to look ahead to next weekend's slate of games and get some insight into that. So quick time out here. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Like that. Well, that's picking up the tempo. What you call hitting it. Now, who is this?
That is Incubus.
Wow. I haven't heard from them in a long time. They had that one song that went really big.
They had a couple. Pardon Me, and then I can't remember, but they had this, I think it might be called Drive, the softer one.
Yeah, the softer one is the one that I remember.
Yep. My buddy Mason, who lives in North Carolina, texted me. We're trying to figure out our fantasy football draft, which literally might end friendships at this point because it's the biggest disaster I've ever tried to go through in my life. I actually put down a gauntlet throwdown for – I'm like, dude, here's the date we're doing for next year. If anybody has a gripe, like, I don't care because I'm never dealing with this again.
I used to work with a guy who, him and his friends would go to Vegas every year.
That's what Petro and his
homeboys
do.
Petro's there this weekend.
They meet in Vegas. But I'm like, even if everybody stays remotely and we do it from our computers, I don't care. The majority of us live in Kansas City, but a lot of people are spread out and have family here, but whatever. It's a date set. Like, you literally have now, at this point, 363 days since I threw this date out for next year. But yeah, the agony that goes into dealing with 10 adults who are
alleged
30
adults,
exactly 35 to 38 years old, some with kids, some without kids. You would think that, like, literally these people have like super high level jobs. Some do, some lawyers, some doctors, and then there's like me. But even with my random schedule and as much as I have going on, I'm like, dude, any day works except for one. And everybody's
right.
Like, well, look, that's the one day everybody can do. I'm like, that's fine. I want to throw my phone every time I get a text message. I'm sorry for the rant, but that's why I, like, literally during Matt Derrick, lost it.
Yeah. Well, the TV station I used to work for, we had a league at the station, and it was easy. We just said, on this date, we know everybody's working, and we're going to have our draft. Put up the big board, put up the names, and we had our draft right there at the office, and I think management from upstairs, who never really bothered us, came down and went, what are you guys doing? Fantasy football draft? Really? At work? Yes, it's actually part of our job. We have a show called Fantasy Huddle. Dave Nielsen, the host of Fantasy Huddle with Chris Goff and a rotating host of characters over the years. I think Katie Falco was on there for a little bit. And we just did it right there in the office. It's part of work. It's part of our jobs. We could claim that. Nothing else going on.
It actually, with the fun part about our job is that, yes, stuff like that is part of our job. You try and explain to someone, you're like, I got to sit down and watch the Chiefs game when there's something important going on. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? You're like,
it's part of the job.
Sadly, I do have to go to work tomorrow and talk about this for 3+ hours. So, yeah, maybe a good idea that I keep an eyeball on it.
Well, I feel bad every year when the NCAA tournament's going on and you read those stories about corporations getting blockers for their computers.
That'd be the worst. I would quit.
You could
I'd take my vacation.
But I could say, well, I actually get paid to watch it. So, we're gonna block you from following the NCAA tournament on our computers. Okay, well, I got a phone.
And I've got my laptop.
And I have my iPad. And my iPad. So, good luck with that. Happy employees are productive employees.
Not necessarily.
Yes, they are. Studies have proven over the years that happy employees
are productive employees.
I was
don't
speaking
be a jerk.
More about myself.
If you're a CEO, don't be a jerk. It's pretty easy. I've known a few who are. All right, we're out of time. Coming up in the next hour, we got more for you. We might hear from Andy Reid about yesterday's game against the Bears. Also, Alec Trost from the Blue Testament on to talk about Sporting KC. 4 wins in the month of August, all shutouts. Now 1 point out of first place in the Western Conference. You're listening to Sports Sunday. I'm Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.